我。香香香香，谢谢你啊，谢谢你啊，谢谢你啊！呱呱呱，呱呱呱呱，呱啦呱啦呱呱呱呱呱啦呱 ！Breaking news。
Great Kiss Productions Limited, Nakhan for chest. Cook this sweet story. Forge past them. Where you know so, and you want to rip by force. Hey, hey, hey. Now fire go burn you.
They say humans are social animals. They can't live alone. But you can live pretty well by yourself.
Welcome again to episode 2 of In Isaac's Eyes, my beautiful people. Thank you so much for your comments and for your wonderful words of wisdom and saying how much you love the intro. Yes, we are going to keep that intro. That is our intro for this season. And I am glad you all love it. It should be voted as most interesting intro of the year. Of course, being it carries all my Nigerian roots. And today, without further ado, we have a very, very special guest all the way from Mombasa, Kenya. She is a fantastic person. She loves the Lord. She's an amazing makeup artist. She is very beautiful. If you say the beauty is too much, it's overload. You overload. As if you see her, you will say, I have fallen in love. Eh? You say, the Lord, I have found my Rebecca. Yes, with me is the amazing, amazing Tanya. Say hi to Tanya. Say hi, Tanya. Tanya, say hi to everyone.
Hi. Oh my God, love you. What was that?
That was me introducing you to the public. You know, I have to make them understand. Like, they can't see your face, but like, I need to make them understand that what me I'm seeing is heaven. If this is not the eighth wonder of the world, I do not know what is. Hallelujah. So yes. Interesting, of course. I said this season you're going to be meeting lots of my friends. Interesting enough, we met through a friend, a mutual friend of ours. Her name is Gertrude. Shout out to you, Gertrude. It was a very weird meeting because I was seated at practice waiting for people to come. And then Gertrude was talking to her on the phone and Gertrude was just like, oh, let me say hi to my friend. And I'm just like, okay, who's this? We don't know each other. How? And we said hi and yeah, I sang and that's how we got to know each other. Literally, that's how we met first time on a video call. And then at that time, I did not have a smartphone. So when I got my smartphone, I got her number and then we started talking and it was just an easy instant flow of getting to know the Nigerian culture because she is so much in love with it. So in love with it. She is dedicated, if I may say, committed and consistent.
And yes.
Yeah, so today we are going to be talking about an interesting topic. Because she's not a woman of many words. She gives, you know, nuggets here and there. So I am going to be doing majority of talking of God, but of course you have to hear this amazing voice. So in Nigeria, yeah. For my Nigerian people, you know the song we always sing in primary school. Wherever you go, whatever you see, I say do not say yes when you need to say no. So that's where our topic is coming from. So the question or the major topic is, what did you say yes to that you were supposed to say no to? And I feel like this is a very interesting topic because everyone can relate to this. Everyone in in the world can relate to it, especially people of our age group, in terms of people who are in their early 20s or mid 20s and people who are going in their late 30s or early 30s can relate to this, in terms of like there are things that we've actually done that we were supposed to say no to, but we said yes to. Like, for example, like, let's start with, you know, tiny things from primary school, starting all the way, like when your friends say, ah, let's go and do this thing. And then you, speaking on behalf of all my Nigerian brethren, you with your mumu head, will go and say yes. And when you do it, the repercussions will be severely received by you alone, by you and you alone. But now we are not going to look at those primary school things. We are going to look at major things of now. For example, relationships. If there's one thing,
I was hoping you won't go there.
We are going to go there. We are going to choose violence today. And if there's one thing I know that we all can testify, is that majority, if not all of us, have said yes to a relationship when we were meant to say no. I personally have that experience where I was in a situation ship where I knew this was not going to go anywhere. I knew it was not going to go anywhere. But regardless, I still decided to stubbornly and ignorantly step into it. And of course, along the way, you don't get the relationship, you start suffering from it. It's more like a punishment now, where you have to live like every day constantly saying that, oh, I am in this relationship, I am not supposed to be here, what am I doing here? So now the major question is, why did I say yes? Why did I choose to do it when I knew I was explicitly not to do so? Like, I knew it was not going to end well for me. Personally, I'll say for me, why I did it was, one, at that time, it was a huge time of peer pressure. Let me tell you, all my friends were dating. And if you're in university and all your friends are dating, it's like you're always the extra. Every time they're together,
the third wheel.
You know,
yeah.
They are eating together, they are making jokes, they even have inside jokes amongst themselves. And you, who was like part of the gist, every time you're being left out.
I think you're very crucial, because you're the one who takes them pictures,
you
and
know,
snap their videos.
You start becoming the handyman of the relationship. and like, it's really, really, it's not an easy phase to go through. It's something that people struggle with, where they're in a circle of, or amongst a circle of friends who are dating each other, and it makes them feel lonely. So that's one, peer pressure and loneliness. Two, I was ignorant, because one, I was just like, I have the knowledge for a relationship. My mom is a relationship counselor and pastor. She has a forum called Singles Get Ready. And like, I've been attending every single program since I was like a little boy. And then like, I was just like, I have all that knowledge. Me, I'm good to go. I am sure I am going to do well. That ignorance, that, will I say, me trying to force issues that I was confident in what I was doing. And those were the reasons why I said yes instead of saying no at that point. Now to you, Tanya. You know, I've been the one talking. Now it's time for you to come in and sanctify some people's ears with your voice. So why did you, okay, first of all, what did you say yes to? Was it situationship? Which situationship was it? Is it situationship pro, situationship pro max?
Mine was more of an entanglement, I would say.
Entanglement! Hallelujah! My gosh.
No. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in the beginning, it was not quite clear. So I didn't know whether I'm supposed to say no, but something in me just wanted to say yes. Like, as I went on and as I got into it, then that's when I was like, I should stop here. But you know, you're already inside, you're like, let me stop. But you're like, you know, like when you're watching a series,
yeah,
then it starts out so bored, you're like, maybe the next episode has a, that's where the breakthrough is. Maybe that's where it gets hot.
You know, maybe it will be the turning point.
Yes, maybe that's where the food is cooking. Then you watch, and by the time it's wasted 2 seasons, I wasted my time. So it was more like that. And I was like, I know I'm not supposed to be here. Like, I'm supposed to go, I'm supposed to say no to everything. But then I don't have an answer because I don't know what was saying yes, because it was not me.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely not, I don't
you know. It's not me, it's the devil.
I was trying to avoid that line.
Oh my gosh. But no. This is a very, very common thing amongst like ourselves in terms of people of our age, where relationship is like, it becomes a hunger that we want to satisfy ourselves with relationships. When we are not ready for it, when we are not prepared for it, we have no idea. Especially when we put the God factor now, in terms of as Christians and as believers, are we doing the right thing? What has God said? Are we even listening to the things that God said about this thing? Have you spent enough time to know whether whether you're ready to start stepping into that situation, into that relationship? Yes, there are some instances where people meet at a very early age or whatnot, and their story is something you live up to. For example, my parents married at the age of 21. Like, literally, my dad was 21, my mom was 21. And this is something interesting. I asked her, how was it that you guys could marry at that age and everything worked out? And she said, literally, this is what she told me. She said, because in our time and this time is not the same. In our time, the fear of God was so strong. Like there's still people who fear God now, but she's like, nowadays, people can boldly say they don't fear God. Like, in that time, for you to say you don't fear God, you dare not utter it. Maybe it will be there in your heart, but it will not be in your mouth. Like, you will not speak it out. But now you have situations where people can speak it out, and people have, and that time, like, relationships were seen as something sacred. Relationships were not seen as like, as how we see it now, where we westernize everything and we're like, you know, relationships are to pass time and whatnot. So for you, what, being that you've experienced that, what will you advise someone to do? Someone who is going to step in your shoes or be in that kind of such a situation where at first they are not sure, but regardless, they still move on with it. But then they reach a point where, like, it is evident that this is a no, but yet they keep insisting. What's your advice to a fellow woman who is in a relationship, or even to men who are in such situations?
Such situations as how? Like, they're somewhere they don't want to be?
Yes. Like how you said, you reached a certain point in the entanglement where you already knew this was a no, and nonetheless you were still pushing forward to, like, look for the bright side of the relationship. You know, this is going to be where everything works out, like a series, just as you said.
For me, let me first of all say how I got out, then maybe it's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
I go to a place, like, you know, you're in a place where now it's time to go, but you don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go, maybe because you're feeling you have a valid reason, or I wasn't really sure what it was because I started praying and I just felt I'm not supposed to be here. So I wasn't really sure what it was, but perhaps maybe it was the spirit leading me out of it, but I didn't know how to get out. So like the more I prayed, the more I started to detach. I was present in the entanglement, but I was not there. Physically, I was there. I was whatever, a relationship or whatever, I was actively there, but I had already zoned out. I was not really there looking for that opportunity. I was like, hey, I need to leave. So any small mistake, I was waiting for the person to do any small thing so I can leave.
You're breathing too heavy.
That way you looked at me is like you have bad intentions and you have to leave. I'm going. Any small thing. You would just walk in front of me. I'm like, why are you walking in front of me like that? That the way you just walked, that air that came to me is about chokes me. I do any small thing to just leave. But it was not working. Like in fact, the time when you're looking for a reason to leave, everything is good.
Yeah, everything is perfect.
And you're like,
without blemish.
I told you, if it is you, do this thing so I know it is you. Open this door and nothing really happens. At the end of the day, you need to make a choice. And the good thing about God, he'll reveal to you things that needs to be revealed, either that you can't see spiritually or that will just pass you, or you might not have the strength to confess them. So he starts revealing things to you. And the more you pray, the more it gives you a sense of direction and you get the strength like from him to walk away. So what I would say is like, God should be involved like before. You don't get somewhere, then when things get tough and you're like looking for God to come and fix it, God should be there before whatever it is you want to conduct, be it relationship, be it friendship, be it entanglements, though it's not quite encouraged, but God should just before, you know, if you're so intertwined with God or his word, the spirit should be able to help even before you step into it. So even the way you say, like, you know you're supposed to say yes, but you're saying no. Once you're stable, or let me say you're deep in the spirit, then if you need to say yes, automatically you'll say it. And you'll be able to know the things that you need. So some things might not be clear, but your heart, your intuition will just tell you this is not it. Wow. At least that's what I think.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. Take note of these things. God should be there way before, because yeah, he's supposed to be first. He's like a jealous God. And it brings me to a thing of like people who do not actually have a godly lifestyle and step into these things. They are mostly the people you find who have difficulty coming out of it. And like you see, for you now, God actually gave you the energy or the courage to actually end it, despite you waiting, and that person didn't make that mistake you have been waiting for. It's like, hey, he's not breathing too hard. He's breathing just the right amount of air. Hey, he's getting flowers. He's buying gifts. Oh my gosh, he's been... number one man of the year. top of the food chain, you know. that's where I feel like the when you now prayed and you asked for courage, God gave you the courage and he gave you the opportunity and you took it and you eventually left there. But now for people who do not even try to ask for God's help, they struggle. And so to say, we have instances of people having abusive relationships and still remaining in there because they do not know how to say no. They don't know how to stand their ground. They do not have a heart of courage. And no matter the opportunity they have been waiting for, it never comes. When it looks like it's coming, it goes and it disappears. So I'll say, God's presence, just like Tanya has said just now, is very, very important for people like us to help us make better decisions and to give us that courage to say no. Because saying no is quite difficult. Like, let's start with me. I grew up knowing how to say yes every single time. So in high school, in the early, like, first year of high school, in boarding school, I was the easiest to prey upon, because like I used to think like, oh, if I say no, these people are going to think badly about me, they are going to have their own opinions, and so on and so forth. Which brings us to the next thing: how can you deal with what comes on you when you say no? No, I don't mean no, like when you say no in private, like let's say someone comes to you for a relationship and you say no. Now it's more like peer pressure no, public no, where you decide to live different, where people are living a certain, as I remember, like we're focusing on God factor here. So like people are choosing to live separate lives from God being the center of it all. And then you choose to say no to their lives and yes to God being the center of everything you have. How, I don't know if you've experienced that, but if you have, tell me, how best do you think one can handle themselves in those instances and situations? Because it's going to be tough for them, because like people are going to say they're uncool, they're being too holy, too spiritual. People say, this guy is a no for us, you know. They don't get to make that much friends or hang out with people and so on and so forth. So yeah, what do you think, if you've experienced that, that will help people do better in such situations?
Funny thing, you reminded me, when I was in school, when I was in primary, I used to have a snitching problem. I used to be that student that will just see something, it's none of my business, but I have to report. Snitch,
you know, it's a tingling sensation.
It was just like, I was so nosy, and I was like, what is going on there? What are they discussing? Let me go inside. I hear sometimes even entirely none of my business. I'm just passing, just here for discussing, and I just go behind the door and I'm like, hey. I've not even heard what they're talking about. I don't even know the route, but what I've heard, I ran to the teacher. So obviously eventually you can do that forever. People found out. And then they were like, just Tanya is the problem with me. So I started being like cast out of many friendships, many groups. I started being cast out, and I was like, no, Tanya is going to snitch. And I was that one student who can never be trusted. Things can be going on because yappa. Mm-hmm. Just Tanya, the loud mouth, yeah. So it got to a point now, I was like, okay, I don't have friends, maybe. Or I'm a snitch, yes, it's true, it's in me. And how am I going to do this? I'm going to work this out. So I started becoming somebody who can attract. I was like a prey now, because I started saying yes to people and everything, so I can fit in somewhere. Because right now I can't be a friend, because I can't be trusted, because I have a problem with opening my mouth. So the only way to do it is, now it got to a point I will allow people to use me, maybe for staff, so I can at least say I have friends, or I can have accountability with certain groups. Yeah. So it got to a point after it became hard to say no. Someone saying, can you do this for me? Sometimes I can't even, maybe they would want something and I can't go out of my way to get it. But I used to just say yes. And then I'm like, okay, why did I say yes to this? Can you do this? Or I start giving a subject. I can't do this, but I can do this. Is that fine? So and when you start becoming somebody who says yes to just anything and everything, you start, you go to learn to please people. So unknowingly, I became a people's pleaser. Mm-hmm. And then when you're a people's pleaser, now you prey on people's approvals and affirmations. So you're there, like, people have to tell you things in order for you to feel good about yourself. People have to always keep reminding you, oh, Tanya does this. Even though they're praising you for the wrong things, as long as you're being praised, that's enough. So you get into a bad place. So the fact that you can be assertive and say no, it makes you like a prisoner to people. Because if you're always saying yes, the moment you decide maybe you want to say no, somebody will try to make you guilty for maybe doing what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes with so much burden. You become a people's pleaser. You start living on people's affirmations, on people's words. You lose your identity. You just forget yourself and you're in this dark place. And people can't keep lifting you forever. People can't praise you forever. Eventually, I detached from my primary friends and I'm like, okay, on to the next levels of friendship. What can I do to make sure this friendship will last? And then every group you go to, you always try to get your identity from such people. You always try to be affirmed in such people, such things. And eventually, the more you're used to saying yes, and sometimes you'll say yes and you can't do it, so now you're labeled a liar. You said you'll do it, why can't you? And maybe you can't. So now you become a liar. And now you become even worse because you're not yourself. You depend on people's words and all these things. So it got to a point that I'm like, no, I can't live like this. Because now, if you don't get what you need from people, you become depressed, you become sad. And then now you fall into the wrong hands relationship-wise, simply because this friendship thing is not working. So maybe if I enter a certain relationship, maybe it's going to work because it should be something private. The person will understand me, I just want to be complimented and stuff like that. You get to the wrong people. And now when it comes to relationship, you start, you can bring worse things so you can try and please your partner. And you can't really keep pleasing people. So it got to a place, I just needed God to help me just let go. And my prayers then, I started praying and fasting, was to just let go. Letting go of friendships, letting go of relationships, letting go of baggages, just letting go of everything. To be able to just weigh everything off and just start afresh and be on my own. And it was quite a journey. It took a process, a lot of healing needed to be done, a lot of breaking of certain chains, because you become so used to saying yes, saying no feels weird. It feels wrong. It feels like, why am I saying no? And funny enough, you're saying yes to everybody but yourself. So it became another problem. So I replaced that instead of saying yes to myself and saying no to others. So I didn't really stop saying yes. I just stopped saying yes to the wrong people. Yeah.
Oh, stop saying yes to the wrong people. And you know, you brought up something very important, because I can remember also something similar back in my boarding school in Nigeria. I was big bodied, you know, I was called fat, so many names. So I was really, and my nature is to make friends, weirdly enough. My nature is to make friends. So I was there having no friends whatsoever, and I really wanted that companionship and people to be able to bond with and talk to and have fun with and rely on, and so on and so forth. Like I was a lost child, very, very far from home. My high school was like hours away from home, like almost close to 7 hours away from home. Or should I even say 10 hours away from home. And I had to deal with people, different people. And there were a lot of them. And then amongst these people, they are coming from a place of, for people who are fat, so to say, do not know how to do this, do not know how to do that. So basically, they were seen as useless. And then it made them exclude me in every single thing. So I did not have time to enjoy my teenagehood, because I was always thinking about how I appeared, how I need to look so that I'll be given certain attention, trying to find it. So I said yes to so many things that I was to say no to, so many actions I did, so many, if I'm to say, atrocities I committed in the name of trying to get people to recognize me as part of them. And then when you feel like they've recognized you, then like that yes you said, it's gonna come back, it's gonna come back biting so hard. It comes back with a very huge repercussion, and that repercussion leaves a mark, hence traumatizing you and so many other things. So I would say like majority of my high school years was like filled on that, and I kept changing who I was every single time. This time I'm a different person just to fit into what they feel like for this season. Another season, I'm a different person just so that I could get that special recognition. And I was not being who I really was inside. Like, I was not trying to say yes for myself to know, do I actually like this thing? I was saying yes because they are doing it. So that's what I need to do. As long as they are doing it, that's what I need to do. And it made me make so many wrong decisions. Hence, I would say, looking at this, like, we have a foundation on why we say yes to so many things, which is coming from a place of wanting to belong, wanting to be accepted, for that exclusive nature to be removed from our lives and to be seen amongst people and to be recognized that yes, we are people and we are beautiful, or we are handsome, we are this and we are that. So many, I'll say, if not every situation that you find people saying yes to, even when they want to say no, is a situation of wanting to belong, peer pressure, so many and so forth. Unless you're saying yes to someone who has a gun on your head and you have to, like, yes, there's no way you can say no to that. Your money, it's there, take it. yeah, it's there, you know. But yes, peer pressure, wanting to feel among so that we can be recognized and not be excluded. And I'll say now, it comes back to what you said, Tanya, which is putting God first. Like, I believe that for all the people listening to this, that we need to learn how to put God first every single time. Because when we put God first, we eventually learn to find a friend in Him, because He becomes our friend. When you spend time with Him long enough, you eventually discover that, yo, this guy is cool. He really loves me. He has the best intentions and plans for me. And with that said, you have confidence to say no to the things you are supposed to say no to easily, because you know that no matter how many people reject you, you have someone who is always and forever will never, ever leave your side. He is always there for you. And I think that's the reassurance people need to start building. Of course, this reassurance does not just happen over one night. It's something that has to be constantly built over and over and over again. Yes, we have been talking for quite some time and we've given stories. But yeah, is there any other instance that you think is of real importance where that has not been mentioned, where you said yes when you were to say no? That did not.
Other what?
Other instance in your life that had like a huge impact where you said yes when you were supposed to say no. We've talked about relationship, we've talked about school, acceptance, growing up, being who we are. But now, I have a very interesting question, yeah? Now that we've grown up and we're fully aware, or we are still becoming aware of ourselves and consciously learning to accept so many things and learning to put God first, we still find ourselves saying yes to some things despite that. So now, it's coming from a place of, okay, we said yes. In relationships, we said yes because of that wanting and that overconfidence and forcing issues. This one we're talking about, not wanting to be left out, peer pressure, and so on and so forth. But now we're like, Jesus is in your heart, like He's your number one person. And okay, He might not be exactly number one, but you are really working towards building that relationship where He becomes number one. You still find yourself saying yes to some things you're supposed to say no to. So why is that? That's the question now. Why do you still say yes nonetheless?
The thing I'm struggling right now is to say no to to say, and I know I should be saying no, but I keep saying yes. It's enjoyment. Enjoyment in capital letters. Enjoyment. Like, mm-hmm. In Swahili, we say sherehe. Ha,
sherehe. Permit me to say your favorite motto. I know that's right.
That's right.
Every single time.
Tanya, where are we going? We're going out. I know that's right. We're going for enjoyment and never ever wrong.
Yeah, so tell me, what do you think is the reason behind why you still say yes to enjoyment when you're supposed to say no?
It's that thrill. Like, it's just that real, like, first of all, music has a very large impact on people, you know? And sometimes you just be like, I know, this week I'm fasting and I'm listening to some Sinache, Tasha Cobbs, I'm all the way in and everything is going good. Sometimes it's not even your fault. You're just outside, maybe in a statue, in an Uber.
You know, and the wind of, like, enjoyment just takes
you. The wind is like, fast, it just blows. Fast. Oh, God. And you're blows. Like, okay, shut this down. You move, kidogo, let me, I just want to be high. And I'm like, God. Okay, sometimes it's not even our fault. Like, music will just come. Then, or first of all, you listen to it outside. Then Burna Boy stays in your head. The African Giant is just in your head. You come back home and then, in order to get it out of your head, you decide to play it. So you just play it and it just goes.
Wow.
Play.
It's like, it's like you're saying, I want to diet, but in order to start dieting, let me eat more junk.
The day you choose to diet, even to fast, the day your mom will decide, today we're having options for dinner. There's a whole course meal.
It's a buffet.
Now she's brought all the cakes from the bakery for testing, and it's normally bad. Like, you know, and then now you hear the songs, and they just keep in your head. And then your cousins or your environment, they're like, today we're going out. Let's just go and enjoy ourselves, you know. We're not harming anybody, we're just going to dance, listen to music, you know, interrupt. And then you go out, obviously, by that time the songs are in your head, and then you're like, no, I don't feel like going out. You enter the room, you see your sister's dressing, how is this dress? They're doing makeup, and you're like, let me just do it. When you're going out, I might just be on my own waiting for the guys to go home. Then you get there, and you drink like 4 Red Bulls, and your energy is here, and in fact, your zone doesn't want to leave. So, I don't really realize when I said yes to going out, but I'm already in the club and I'm already having so much fun and I'm not even thinking about the fact that I should have said no. I go back home and I'm like, why did I go out? I wasn't supposed to go out. I won't go out again, at least for a month. Hey, Tanya, what are you doing tomorrow? Where are you? I'm downstairs, come down. So you see, you don't really know how it happened. So I'm guessing it's for the thrill and then that more notion that we are young, let's live life, let's enjoy. The curfew has been lifted till morning. Ratatata. So I don't really know. I can't really give an answer on that because it's something that I'm struggling with. So maybe you help me there. But I guess I say yes because of the thrill, because there's no tomorrow, because we need to live life. Because when you go out, you forget stress and you just dance away. You go out for good music, good company. So, I really, it's hard to say no to that.
This is what I would say for that. For me, this is where I always come in, where people are just like, Labi, why don't you always go out? And I said, to do what? And they're like, to have fun, to enjoy yourself. And I'm like, who said I can't enjoy myself in my room? It's like, no, you know, you only live once. Enjoy life while you're young. And I said, who said I won't enjoy life as I continue to grow old? You're just the one giving yourself that notion that, or they're like, oh, you have to do this, you know, to enjoy life, you know, for the memories. But yeah, I'm like, I make enough memories in my room. You have no idea. Like, the stories I have with people who come to my room, or when I just leave the room a little bit and I meet friends and we just sit down and we talk and we have fun. Like, you can literally have fun and enjoy your day and have your day being made without going to make noise. And I tell, and it's not that, oh, you cannot go out with family and with friends and eat and, you know, see places and all that. No, you can. But like, when it becomes a thing of you're supposed to say no to it, because now it becomes a very major factor where it's taking over other things in your life. Like, it's something, it now becomes a thing of you never planned for it, but you're going to do it anyway. It now becomes a habit, so to say, and then it becomes an addiction later on as it goes. So I'll say, for me, it's that understanding that I do not need to be going to a park, going to some festival or anything to have fun and live life to the fullest, quote unquote. But I can live my life to the fullest depending on how I want it to be. It's up to me, because you can still go to all those festivals and still come back and feeling like you're bored to the core. You don't feel like you've enjoyed yourself whatsoever, no matter how much friends you take with you, and no matter the fun activities you do nonetheless. So I'll say it's a thing of understanding that you are in charge of that living life to the fullest and that making memories. That's up to you on the inside. You cannot place it on activities and events, because at the end of the day, you're the one that allowed those activities to have that influence on you. And yes, we have so many people of our age who struggle with that, so it's something they are going to work on eventually. But yes, so to say, bad on that. So thank you so much, first of all, for making time to be on the show. She was so nervous, the nerves. she was like asking so much questions. Can we do another topic, then we do this one later? I'm like, no. this is what I'm planning to do. I'm not changing. But yes, thank you so much for using your stories to help give people instances, and the honesty in saying what you're truly struggling with at the moment and how it is for you when you're going through it. And I think it will help people understand that they are not the only ones going through whatever they're going through at this moment, whatever it's difficult for them to say no to, or and whatever they are not able to leave, and so on and so forth. Thank you so much for making time to be here. I am most grateful. But before we close, is there any closing remarks you would like to give to the people? Any parting words? Words of wisdom? Wise words?
I don't think I have any. Like, okay, in regards to what we talk about, like saying, being able to say no instead of saying yes, it's just like a matter of three things. Once you know three things, you'll be able to get to differentiate when you say yes and when you say no. One is to ask yourself, who am I? That's in regards to your identity. Once you know who you are, you'll be able to understand, even when you're dealing with things or people that don't align with who you are or your identity per se, then you'll be able to know what is going to build you or grow you and what is going to take you back. Two is, what are you supposed to be doing? That's regards to your purpose. Once you know what you're supposed to be doing or what should be keeping you busy, be able to distance yourself from things that will either hold you back or block you from your purpose. And three is, where am I heading, your destination? So once you know where you're going, you'll be able to get rid of things that will hinder you or make you stop from where you need to be.
That's wow, it. Thank you. Three parting shots. One, who are you? Two, what are you supposed to be doing? Three, where are you headed? And all these three things are very important. And do not forget, include God in each and every one of them. Take note. And we'll be expecting a change of story next time you appear here, Tanya, you know. Like, I was able to say no to enjoyment.
I know, that's right.
We need to find another phrase. But yes, thank
you. No, please, it's only fair that you speak pidgin. I've just been waiting for you to drop some pidgin words and you're not doing it. Okay. You're just speaking straight English.
Okay, okay. Like, you want us to speak pidgin? How far now? Waiting is
not us.
Not us, just me.
Yeah, okay. Give us your parting shots in pidgin.
So me waiting, I could talk, me say, Omo, my guys, my G's, my fam. Last, now God suppose they on top. All these things where they talk yes to, all these things where they talk yes to, where we're not supposed to talk yes to, and I know we're supposed to dash people, or I know we're supposed to dash some certain situations. Omo, now for us first, we'll surrender everything for God's hand. Now, one thing I go talk for now, because me too, I don't tell now some of my stories. Me, I don't talk yes to plenty nonsense. But with the help of Papa God, now he don't help me. May I start to talk some sincere no. In fact, I did for this stage for my life where me, I don't even they bother myself with waiting people they think when I yarn them no for some certain things. Because me, I know say, no matter how many times me, I go yarn people no. I get person where they support me for back, person where get my back, which now God. Because me, they come from a place where I've been the talk yes to please people. I've been the talk yes so people go feel me. You know, say people go talk, say, now my G be that. Now, boy. But, Omo, me, I be Jesus boy now. Forget that thing. If I yarn you, know, you know they come from my heart. And you know, go pay me what you go do. Because my Papa God don't tell me, say, bros, I deal with you. I deal with you, you deal with me. Now it's day with day. No wala, no stressing. I hope that was enough. Are you crying?
No. Wow, that was huge. Like, just that small part where you just take pigeon. I'm not gonna send them to my phone private. Thank you.
No, Ahala. So thank please, you. Anything you want to advertise, like a business or your Instagram. I don't know, is your Instagram back? Because it was off for a while, so just ask
you. Yeah, my Instagram is back.
It's back, so they can follow you at Tan Royalty
_ Tanya TANNIAH then _ All Royalty.
All Royalty. Thank you so much for being here. We are grateful. We do hope the best for you, and we do hope for a huge change in the No to Enjoyment # movement. Do enjoy your day. Thank you so much, people. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to With Isaac's Eyes podcast. Please do not forget to share and subscribe. You can find us on all podcast platforms, e.g. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. Please do not forget to follow me on Instagram at @big_isaac1822. @big_isaac1822. And you can also hit me up on my email, isaaclabby25@gmail.com. Thank you for your time. Have a lovely day.